Drive Time on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Zurich. Leap year? Use that extra day wisely. Talk to a financial broker about a Zurich pension.
Now, a battle looms within European Commission departments as civil servants prepare strategy papers for the flagship European Green Deal. The ambitious deal promises a carbon neutral Europe by 2050, but there are doubts the EU's farming system can implement binding targets to go green, despite the sector producing around 10% of the continent's emissions. I'm joined now by lecturer in European politics at UCC, Dr. Emmanuel Shoon Quinlevin, and Saif O'Neill, who's a policy advisor with Stop Climate Chaos. Saif, what exactly does this European Green Deal involve?
Well, the announcement by the incoming head of the Commission, Ursula von der Leyen, before Christmas for a Green New Deal was about improving the well-being of people, being able to make that transition to a climate-neutral Europe by 2050 while protecting natural habitats and also people, planet and the economy. And her stated ambition is that no one will be left behind. So critically, as we make this transition towards zero carbon emissions, we'll need to decarbonize sectors that currently emit lots of emissions, including energy, transport and industry. But that can't exclude agriculture, you see, because if we're looking at net zero emissions, that is going to include the emissions that come from land use as well as all the other industrial sectors that we are familiar with.
It is indeed. And she wants to set these targets not as something that's aspirational, but as legal obligations, doesn't she, Saif?
That's right. So as part of the Green New Deal, the Commission is proposing an EU climate law, which will turn this political commitment into a legal obligation and, they claim, trigger for investment. And from, you know, a sectoral point of view, it's going to include, we understand, binding sectoral targets. So there will be targets for individual sectors and possibly a shift between the targets that currently exist between the emissions trading scheme and the non-emission trading schemes, so sectors. So the first draft of this new law should be published quite soon on the 4th of March, just before the next EU Environment Council. So it's absolutely critical that we get a kind of a draft of this legislation as soon as possible, because it's urgent that the EU as a whole increases its climate ambition ahead of the next climate conference in Glasgow next November. And that process takes some time. So we need to get the draft on the table. And we're looking for at least 50 to 55% in emission reductions by 2030. So that is very important that the Irish government will support that. Otherwise, that will delay the whole process leading up to Glasgow.
And we know, Emmanuel Shoon Quinlevin, that the EU moves sometimes at a very slow pace. How important is this Green Deal to the new European Commission President, Ursula von der Leyen? Hello, Emmanuel.
Hello.
Ah, did you?
Yep.
If you heard my question, I'm asking you
how important
it is to Ursula von der Leyen now.
Yeah, no, I think it's absolutely crucial. She came into power a little bit delayed because of Brexit issues, but she started in her position on the 1st of December. And I think the Green Deal is actually her plan for her whole presidency. Mm. Obviously, she's following the European elections, where you had not quite a green wave, but you had an increase in the number of green MEPs. She knows there's actually a kind of green wave moving across the national member states as well. So she's very keen on this farm-to-fork strategy, and this Green Deal is at the heart of her presidency. At the same time, it means an overhaul of all the EU policies, as Saif has highlighted, because it is so cross-sectoral that it requires a radical systemic change of looking how we policies at an EU level.
Yeah, and Saif, it will also involve an enormous commitment of finance. What is she backing up this European Green Deal with financially?
Absolutely. So the Commission is looking at investing, or promising it, committing at least 1 trillion euro over the next 10 years in investments towards the just transition and the climate plan. And that is going to leverage private investment as well. So the purpose of the law and the purpose of the Green New Deal approach is to sort of signal the direction of travel for EU climate policy so that private investors can buy into that and understand where they're going and what they need to do. And there's a very important commitment in the Green New Deal to support research and innovation, which would be critical for those sectors that will find it difficult to find alternatives to fossil fuels, but also very critically investment into the just transition. This is key to getting some of the member states to support the higher targets, those member states that are, you know, dependent on coal, for example. So the investment they're looking at will include a 25% of all EU expenditure over the next 5 years. And that is going to filter down, obviously, into the proposals for the budget over the coming 5 years and also the CAP reform. So all of these dots have to be joined up, and it's critical that all the policy frameworks and the governance frameworks and the budgetary frameworks in the EU are all lined up with this net zero target. Otherwise, we will simply miss it.
Emmanuel, I mean, agriculture and its policies will be challenged in any climate conversation. It's probably not surprising. There will be resistance to proposals in the deal from farming policymakers in many EU countries.
Yes, absolutely. And it's always been this kind of opposition between farmers and environmentalists. You have to remember as well that common agricultural policy represented about 75% of the budget in the 1980s. It's been gradually reduced and reallocated to other areas. We're now at about 40%. But the Just Transition Fund that Saif just mentioned will represent 7.5 billion euro, and that will be taken from the common agricultural budget. So this is why, as you started this item, you talked about the opposition between the Department or the Director General of Agriculture versus the Director General for Environment. At the same time, I think it's really healthy that there's a real debate there, because DG Environment has traditionally been kept to the sideline of policymaking at EU level. So it's great to see that there's a healthy debate. So I've highlighted that obviously it's taking time, and the clock is ticking before the 4th of March 2020 for this climate directive. But it is good to see that DG Environment is setting its position, and DG Agri is doing the same. Ultimately, they will reach a compromise, the targets might be lower than what DG Environment wants.
Where is Ireland in all of this, Saif, right now?
Well, Ireland, the official position of the outgoing government, which is still the caretaker government, is that Ireland supports increased ambition. But the Foreign Minister, Bruton, has never indicated exactly what level of ambition he thinks the Irish government should support. So Ireland is currently basically sitting on the fence. Now, it's worth pointing out that the Climate Action Network, and reflecting the scientific interpretation of the Paris Agreement, is recommending that the EU should increase its ambition to 65%. So we're still way off track. And actually, current indications are that we're not even going to meet the existing target of 40%. So we desperately and urgently need to accelerate ambition. And just come back to one thing that Emmanuel said there, because I was briefly reading through the blog of Alan Matthews, who keeps an eye on all of these CAP reform measures. And he was pointing out that under the Finnish presidency, it looks like the CAP budget will not be affected. They're just sort of moving money around, but that the Just Transition Fund will not be financed out of the CAP budget. This is, if I'm interpreting correctly.
Okay, well,
they're just moving money around to satisfy the different sectoral interests, but all the budgets will have to be supporting the climate ambition.
Saif O'Neill and Emmanuel Siún Quinlevin, thank you both very much.